And so when I started watching, the delivery was jarring, but what he was saying was pretty much on point. Because like you just said, it was really just making sure that you understand what you're facing if you're in the dating game and what you're looking for. Was his delivery brash? Sure. Yeah, it was. He could have sugared in what he was saying at some point. But why? Yeah, he was, you know, deliberate and straight to the point. And I think that's what kind of drew, whether you want to call it popularity or fame or whatever word you want to use in that sentence.
Hey, it's your imaginary best friend, Finch. And I know at times life can seem hard and you can feel stuck with no valuable answers and nowhere to go. Listen, I have a host of secrets and recipes that will not only help you enhance your lifestyle, career, relationships, and finances, but also help get your ass off the fence. And just because you're not where you want to be doesn't mean you're not where you're supposed to be. So let's go do the work. This episode starts now. I want to talk to you guys today about death by jury. And you probably heard by now that a YouTube sensation, Kevin Samuels, passed away. And I wanted to ask a couple questions concerning that because I have seen the commentary on social media about him. And a lot of people hated him. In part, I think it's because of his delivery of the truth that he gave people. I watched a couple of videos before he passed away. And I said to myself, why don't people like him? I don't see nothing wrong with what he's saying, because he's trying to get you to realize, I felt that in some of his attempts, at least by the videos I saw, he was really just trying to get you to look at reality and saying, hey, what you are, just like Rick just said, you got to make sure that the thing that you are dreaming about is not ridiculous in a sense, you know.
And obtainable. Yes.
And obtainable. And I felt like a lot of the advice and a lot of things, a lot of questions that he asked of women and people, I think people forget that Kevin Samuels started out with men. He just became extremely popular because when he started talking to people, didn't like what he was saying to him or the manner in which he was saying it. And so he went viral because of what he was saying to women, but nobody really cared when he was talking to men in the same manner. I had this question. What does the death of Kevin Samuels mean for reality relationships?
Ooh, he had grown to be such a major figure. And I know you were talking about the videos, how you watched the videos before he passed. And I was trying to think of when I originally started watching his videos. I'm assuming it must have been like around when the pandemic started is when I started cluing into him. And so when I started watching, the delivery was jarring, but what he was saying was pretty much on point. Because like you just said, it was really just making sure that you understand what you're facing if you're in the dating game and what you're looking for. Was his delivery brash? Sure. Yeah, it was. He could have sugared in what he was saying at some point. But why? Yeah, he was, you know, deliberate and straight to the point. And I think that's what kind of drew, whether you want to call it popularity or fame or whatever word you want to use in that sentence. But I think it's going to be a definite huge loss, especially from a dating perspective and just from an entertainment perspective. Even if you didn't believe in what he was saying, he was at least, and he definitely had a captivated audience for the time that he was doing his thing. I think it'll be a big void until somebody tries to step in and fill it.
I agree 100%. What's funny is 24 hours before he passed, I had just told another friend of ours, Nate, in a group, in a chat that we're in, that I would pay to sit in a seminar of his, like in Atlanta, in an auditorium, if he does it just like the phone calls. For one, I never knew him to be Dr. Kevin Samuels. He was giving his opinion. And then it wasn't unwanted opinion. Some people will just throw their shit on you, but this is what these were. You called him. You've seen his shows and you decided I wanted his advice. And then when he started giving it to you like it is, you're being rude. You've seen this guy's interviews. And it's just funny how people are celebrating his death. It was an opinion. Right. That's how he felt. Right. Nothing was fact, but a lot of it was true or not true, or it's just funny to me. Right. So I definitely feel we lost. It was sad. I was like, this can't be true, because I literally just watched his video. And like I said, I either get something learned, think it's full of shit, or get laugh out of it. I got something out of each one.
I think what I found to be troubling with people saying, and this is men and women, saying, oh, he made his brand disrespecting women. And I always say this, The truth does not change because you get offended.
It's not changing, ladies and gentlemen.
But everything he said wasn't true.
What I'm saying is, and I'm not saying everything he said was true, because I don't know everything he said, for one. But I'm saying, let's say, for instance, if you call me or JB calls me and you guys are asking me for my opinion about an issue or scenario or whatever, and I give you that opinion, it's just as you said, it's my view on your scenario and how I feel you can come out of this better or you can improve or whatever the scenario is. And if you don't find it to be true about yourself or your scenario, one or two things are at hand here. One, you are delusional about your reality, or two, it just doesn't apply to you in the manner in which I've given it to you. Right. It does not say that I'm disrespecting you because I'm telling you what my view is on your scenario and your situation. And I think in a lot of cases, like I saw, I think in our society, we don't really think about things because, and I feel like it's due to, and we've dealt with this on this show, it's due to how we were domesticated as human beings. Our parents taught us, or somebody that was responsible for us, taught us in a certain way. And everything they taught us wasn't true, wasn't right, but that's what we knew. And that's what we've known. And unless we deprogram ourselves from what we were taught and reprogram ourselves on the reality in which we live in the present tense, we're not going to change how we view things. And I think in essence, what I witnessed in a lot of his videos that I did watch were, he was looking at, because I do this myself when I'm talking to people, I'm looking at the reality of what your life is. Like, for instance, I know he talked to, I saw one, like I said, a couple of days before he passed away, I saw a video. He was talking to this woman and she had some very unrealistic expectations.
I bet I know which one.
A man who made a certain amount of money that she has never made herself. And all the men she, and what Mr. Samuels was trying to get her to see was the type of man that, and I believe this with a lot of women. And again, it's based on the fairy. I think it's based on the fairy tale. She wanted a man who would not choose her. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he said.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and that's what he told her. The type of man you want ain't looking for you. Why? Mm-hmm. Because you're below him. What can you offer him? You know what I'm saying?
It's like, she said she couldn't date an average man. Is that?
She said she couldn't date an average man.
Tattoo on her chest?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I thought that was hideous.
Right.
Like, you sitting here saying, I can't date an average man. And one thing Kevin did not do was rate you. He allowed each woman to rate herself. He said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what are you? He said, you can't say 7. She said, I'm a 6. He said, okay. After he did the whole thing, he does how much you weigh, how tall are you, how many kids? He said, okay, average at best. So an average woman refuses to date an average man. He said, how do you want a man, like, how do you refuse a man that is what you are? And the type of man you're looking for will not be dating you. And if he did, you would be uncomfortable in that circle. Wow. While they're talking about things that are outside of you, you're going to be very insecure. And he was 100% right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always said this too. Like, I know a lot of women want men who make a lot of money, but I don't think they have a good sense of what that life is like because you've never lived it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've had a lot of money. Give or take a zero. I've had a lot of money. Contrary to what they tell you I'm worth right now, I've had a lot of money. However, before, I have to say, because I learned this the hard way, like I'm going to be honest. I used to be judgmental when I used to see like the stories of athletes, like, how you lose all this money? Because when we are on the outside looking in, we're looking at, we can't believe someone who has millions of dollars would lose it. But we don't know that life because we have never had the privilege of living it. I was talking to someone a few weeks ago and we was having this conversation about a certain amount of money. And I asked him, I said, what's the most amount of money you've ever made in your life? And the number was so low. And I said, but you're talking about money
you don't know how to manage. Number one, you're talking about a scenario. You don't even know how to get this amount of money.
Right. That's the right. Right. Exactly.
You don't even have an idea of how to make this level of money that you're talking about. And I think many people have this fantasy, this dream world about being rich. Mm-hmm. Think about this for instance, guys. By all the people who on social media who want to go viral because they want to be famous, because in their minds, they're thinking being famous is better than being unknown. And they're thinking, if more people knew me, I can make more money. And that might be true. But do y'all remember the guy, hide your kids, he for a stretch of time because of that video, he had a lot more opportunities than he was afforded prior to. However, where is he now?
Hiding his kids, hiding his wife, because he ain't rich.
I cannot with
you. I think that lady rich, though. Oh, Lordy, it's a fire. You remember her?
I do not.
She did an interview. Mm-hmm. They always doing the interview ones, and it was a fire. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to interview her, see what she saw. She was like, I looked up, and oh, my God. It's just, she said, oh, Lordy, it's a fire. She done did. Mm-hmm. I done seen her on an insurance commercial.
Yeah,
Her teeth were messed up really bad. So a dental commercial, she does.
You got to think about it, Mika and JB. And I want people to understand this before y'all come for me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you going viral. What I am saying is being prepared for the other side. And I think that was the whole premise of Mr. Yeah. Samuel's platform was he wanted you to be more prepared than you actually are. Like he was asking these women basic questions. And they couldn't answer them.
About themselves.
Mm-hmm. About themselves. Right.
Mm-hmm. And about yourself.
Now, think about this, guys, because we don't ever think about this from our perspective is these are things you should know about you. So mm-hmm. When you're talking about being in a relationship in a tight and all these checklists and criteria that you want from a man, and I'm talking about a woman or a man wants from a woman, but you don't know what your value would be to that other person. Because right. I think in our society, we're taught one-sided. Women have been taught since they were kids, and they were little girls, about the fairy tale life, a husband, house with a picket fence, all this bullshit.
And a dog. Right?
and a dog. You know? And I think when you think about that life, so we spend our lives wanting to be chased. I'm talking about a woman. Desiring to be chased by a man, and then we get to that point in life, and I'm not sure, I'm not a woman, so I don't know at what stage in life the women that this applies to, because it does not apply to every woman. I don't know at what stage you get to that point where you be like, oh, now I want a man who's a multimillionaire or a billionaire, you know, and it's okay, you're average at best, like right. you're damn near
I know slow. What stage that is, though. It's the delusional stage. Yeah.
at what point in a woman's life does that stage come into effect, you think?
Delusion, because there's no, I've never went through that, and I just turned 42 on Sunday. You have to be delusional to think that it's just going to be this trigger, and you just feel like you deserve all these things, and what are you bringing to the man that has all these things, or woman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting that you say that, Mika, because that was my point. And I think in all honesty, that was Kevin Samuel's point is we have lofty expectations. Like I seen this TikTok the other day, and Mika's always on TikTok. She loves TikTok. She makes a lot of great TikTok videos. JB, you're not on TikTok, right?
Yeah, I'm on there.
Oh, I didn't know that, JB.
You had that one video. You didn't see the one hot dog video?
I did not see one hot dog video. I did not see that video. I don't.
My hot dog. Hot dog.
Hot dog. That's funny. But I saw this video on TikTok, and this guy, he was asking this girl all these questions before, like they're in the car getting ready to go. And I hate the whole cliche of first date with somebody. You pick them up at their house. I don't know what kind of bullshit that is, women, that y'all expect a man to come to your house and pick you up.
On the first day, you go to where I live?
Why would you go with you?
No, thank you, stalker.
Yeah. Hold up. Hold up. Okay. So he's asking her all these questions about things that
he expect? He's saying, after we finish eating, I'm coming back to your house. And she's, I don't do that on the first day. All these things, right? And so I had this thing in my mind, because I know this, again, this does not apply to every man or every woman, but it does apply to a select few. I never understood on the flip side of a man who goes out with a woman and quote unquote pays for the evening and expects sex in return. And this is our first time going out. I don't understand that just as well as I don't understand a woman expecting a man to pay for her evening, or a woman expecting a man to have this laundry list of things that she herself has never had, probably won't ever get in that regards. But I just don't get the dynamics of how men and women in today's culture or society view relationships. And so it brought up this question, were people living on Fantasy Island before Kevin Samuels? Because he's not the first person to...
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the reason why his material was so triggering to some people. Exactly. Exactly.
Talking to somebody in here.
And because so many people were living in fantasy land, and he was kind of like that, putting that cold water in your face early in the morning. This is what it really is. The chances of you landing the person that you're looking for is slim to none. And this is why. And some people were taking that as being a dream killer, but he wasn't a dream killer. He was just speaking reality. And he wanted you to understand what the real was versus what's in your dream. Mm. At the very least, you had to respect it on some level.
I loved it. Another thing, you know how they say a hit dog will holler? Right. I never commented on things. People get offended. Things apply to them and they reply. I've been a hit dog for Kevin so many times, but it's like you're talking to me, but you're not talking to me, because what you're saying isn't my circumstance. So one thing you do, Finch, a lot, you say stuff, you say some women, a lot of women. And then you'll still say, I'm not talking to all of y'all, because that's one thing that I feel like he could have incorporated, because sometimes he'll just say it flat out. If you are 35 and a woman and got a child, your life is over. Your low value is over for you. That don't apply. I like the way you, this don't apply at all, because you have 40-year-old women. You have Sierra's getting their Russell with the one kid and over this age and low value for his, you know, what he said. But I like that. If he did that, I just think he just hit a lot of people. He'll say something and people can relate. And like, he's talking to me. He's not talking to you. You can still find whatever he's saying you can't.
Because he would hit people with a generalized statement that doesn't apply to the masses. It just applies to a select few people. And that's what anything in life. And that's why I say that, because I don't like those generalized statements. Like when I see women posting about, men are, and I'll be like, no, it's really, it's just the select amount of men you have had the pleasure of having in your company, because you haven't met every man in the country. You have not met every man. So that statement cannot be true. It just can't be true. And I know we want it to be true, but we have to look at, and I think this is one of the things I admired about Kevin Samuels, is getting you to look at the reality of who you are now, not the who you are in your head, but who you show up as every day, because who you show up as every day is not who you aspire to be. Now, you can become that person, but these are the steps you will need to take to do that. And I think when you live in a delusional state and you feel you have this entitlement complex, you feel like something you just said, Mika, earlier, or JB, I don't know which one of y'all said that about, Mika, it was you, about women having this list of things that a man has. And I've always thought in my mind, so you think you just get a mulligan because you're showing up as a woman. But I used to say this to women all the time. You ain't the only woman with titties, ass, a vagina. Every woman has those things. If they haven't suffered some catastrophic accident that erased all of that, and I know y'all ain't gonna like it, I don't care. Here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen of the world, who may be watching. When you really look at it, when we're talking about how we show up, right? Like we hear people talking about dicks. Oh, he got a little dick. He got a big dick. At the end of the day, it's still a dick. Okay.
No dicks matter.
You got titties, you got ass, and you got a vagina. at the end of the day, I want you to tell me, outside of some of them being wetter, more lubricated than others, what's the difference in your vagina than the next chick's vagina that I done had? What's the difference?
When I throw it in the sky, it turns into sunshine.
I would love to see that. But again, that's delusional because it just doesn't happen. So at the end of the day, it comes down to a host of more than what we have been telling ourselves all these years. Like, right. I think about it like this, right? So a woman gets a man with a ginormous penis, and then she crying about it hurting because it can't fit in your little ass vagina. So at the end of the day, I've said this to thousands of women, so this ain't going to be a shock to those who I've said this to before. At the end of the day, a man with a big penis ain't never saved no relationship.
Never.
Think about that. A woman with good vagina ain't never saved a relationship, whether she got big boob, fat ass, ain't none of that never, ever saved a relationship. Right. Because I remember asking this woman, we was having this conversation, it was a group of us, and she was talking about that very thing about the size of a man's penis. And I said, so you've never had a man with a big penis before? Yeah. That was her answer. I said, are you with him right now? No. So that's proof that him
that having it don't matter that much.
It just doesn't. So,
it may keep people together a little longer than they need to be, but it's not going to save the relationship.
It's not going to save it. It's not going to save it. And so I had to ask this question. What truth did Kevin Samuels actually tell?
What truth? A lot. Yeah, what truth?
He told a lot of truth, right?
Told a lot, a lot of truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of truth. If you actually go watch his videos and listen, I'm talking about listening, not to respond, because I seen a video, this chick, he was telling the truth to. And that's part of what we was talking about earlier. And we was joking with JB about the support system. But I think a number of you guys, men and women, don't have the proper people around you to tell you the truth about your shit. Mm-hmm. And they encourage you to do bullshit that because of how they were taught. And so y'all both are doing a bunch of frivolous bullshit, because I saw this video of Kevin Samuels telling this woman a truth about herself. I think she had 4 kids and 3 men, by 3 different men, rather. And her friend was in the background, girl, hang up on him. And he said, see, that's the kind of shit you listen to. And this is why you, and again, I have to say, I'm not, how many kids you got is on you. And I think in the reality of the type of men that Kevin Samuels were talking about, based upon the women who called into his show, were wanting, they called them high value men. They wanted them in a certain financial tax bracket and all this type of thing. He was saying to you, why would a man of that stature, being single, want a woman with 4 kids by 3 different men? That's what he's really saying in a lot of those instances. Or you talking about, I remember this one video, a chick was talking about she used to date a plumber or a truck driver. And he was talking about how much money a plumber makes. But again, I think in essence, we're living in a fantasy world. And I have to ask you guys this question, whether you've seen a host of his videos or not. What do you think people learn from his message? What do y'all think people actually learn from his message? Mika?
I think people that were open to the message learned a lot. And the only way you didn't learn something from listening to Kevin is if you just didn't want to. Right. Even if you didn't agree with what he said, I still took something away from it. A lot of people learned a lot and some didn't learn at all. And I think it's just not being open-minded to what he was saying.
That part, being open-minded. And placing yourself in a position, like I said earlier, to be deprogrammed and saying, hey, well, let me actually listen to what he's saying, not how he's saying it to me. Because I think, in essence, when he started out, he was one way. But if you look at his videos of late in the last year or two, his approach was, it became a little different. But because he was known for that and because he was no nonsense, I think no nonsense and truth tends to register to people as disrespect when it's actually just, I'm just not going to deal with the bullshit, because we are accustomed to talking to people who will accept the bullshit we give them, the excuses, because we have a host of excuses for why something is the way it is or why it's not the way it is, instead of actually looking at the truth of why we are where we are and why we are who we are, and taking that in and be like, you know what? I got to make some changes so that I become a better person
and so that I can do XYZ or ABC. So
that's what he should have did. He should have had that 10% call in sometimes. So when the women are like, I need a high value men that's in this 10%, and I could get one, have a few call in, explain exactly who she is and say, would you date her and marry her? And maybe hearing it from a 10% high value man, it'll click some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
But and in your own life, how many millionaires do you know that date this woman?
Let's be honest about
that's not a millionaire too. She's not a millionaire too. How many millionaires date the women he say shooting them down? The four kids, three dads, no degree, 5'2", 300 pounds. How many millionaires date her? Can she get a millionaire? No one's saying you can't. But how many do you currently know?
Let's talk about that for a second. But I want JB to answer that question. Let me let JB answer that question, and then we'll come back to what you just said, Mika, because I got something I want to add to that.
Okay, and you said the question was, what did I learn from Kevin Samuels?
Not you personally, but what do you think people learned from his message?
I think going back to what Mika said, if you were listening or trying to get the message out of what he's saying, I think he should have forced you to look at yourself and see where you are if you were in this dating pool that he was speaking of. Because coming from older single man like Kevin was, his perspective was obviously going to be a little different because he was coming from the person with the position of power, so to speak. But he should have, at the very least, it should have forced you to go back and rethink what you felt was important in a relationship. And if you're able to do that, then I think you should have been at least a little bit better for it, if that's what you were going into it looking for.
Now, Mika, what was the tail end of what you said so I can come back in?
Oh, you asking me to recap me? Let me see. rewind the tape. I don't remember the tail end. I remember what I said in total, but I don't remember the tail end.
What you say? Because I don't know how I forgot it that quick when I just said we were going to come back to it.
I don't know what I had said, though.
You got me.
So y'all not listening to me is what I got out of this. Neither one of y'all listening to me because I know what I said.
What'd you say, Mika?
No, because you ain't listening. So that's what Kevin was talking about. You should have wrote it down, Fitch.
I just knew I wasn't going to forget it. Letting JB talk. So I
was just talking about receiving his message and something about the money.
Oh, you said you would. Oh, yeah.
You're dating a millionaire.
That 10% come on and share with these women. So here's the thing. This is what I was going to say. Yeah, I remember now. So I was going to say a man, fortune and or fame, in certain instances, he will sleep with you, but he won't date you. That's what I think women have to understand about. There's a difference in him being in a relationship with you at that level that you are at versus him sleeping with you at that level. Because again, you got to think about the mindset of someone who has multiplied their finances into the millions or billions. They don't think like the average person thinks. You cannot think like the average person thinks and accumulate that type of wealth. So when you're looking at the mindsets of the women, a lot of these women that Kevin was talking to, that was I've seen also on social media, some of those women posting videos about how much he's helped them. I saw a woman's talk wrote something to him about how much he had helped her and her husband. Because it did exactly what you just said, JB. It forced her to look at herself, and she made some internal changes that in turn affected how her and her husband showed up in their relationship. And so when we look at that, because I know a few celebrities, I know because I've hung out with some of these people, they will sleep with you because you got a fat booty, you got big titties, or you look a certain kind of way. But if you a waitress at IHOP or Waffle House, or you work at the airport, or you work at the grocery store, the fast food joint, yeah, they'll sleep with you. But how many, I would love to know the percentage of them that actually wifed a person like that.
That's why I don't know any.
Yeah. And I think in certain, and I don't know the stat, but I think in certain instances, when we look at that percentage, is it roughly around them being together before that person made it. Because I think in a lot of instances, that's where you'll see that percentage at. It's like a Savannah. I was with LeBron before he became LeBron of the world, but he was still LeBron in high school. But we was together at that point. I was reading a story in the New York Times about Bill Gates and his wife, Melinda. They was together before he made billions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? And so I think we have to look at that reality too, because a man of who's accumulated that amount of wealth is looking right. for a type of woman with a certain mindset. Now, I can say he may not be looking for you to have the money he has, because I see so many people. So I see this so many times on social media with a woman talking about a man got a matcher. I'm like Nate in the video. Because I feel like oftentimes in these scenarios, women want men to help them. But when they are at a certain level, they feel like it's not their responsibility. And I think y'all help each other. If you see potential in him and he has foundational principles, you guys can work together and amass more than you can apart. But that's neither here nor there. Uh-huh. What do you guys think people learn from his delivery, from Kevin Samuel's delivery? What do you think people learn from his delivery? JB, you go first this time.
I'm not sure if you learned anything from the delivery, because honestly, I think that's where the majority of his critics probably came from, was because of his delivery and how brash and demeaning it came off as being, like you said in the beginning, because I think he kind of came off as a shock jock in the beginning. And then a shock, meaning a DJ or a radio personality or a TV personality. That kind of just says things just to go viral. And that's what it came off as being initially. But like you said, I think as he went along, it softened a little. And it wasn't necessarily as brash as it was in the beginning. There was a time when he was hanging up on women, you know, when they would call it. He was doing it with the quickness. But as he came along, he stopped doing that as much. And he was really trying to, you know, help them to understand what his message was. So if anything, it should show growth in your delivery. And everybody here in that same fashion.
Yeah. And I was going to say that too, JB, like when you think about his delivery changing over time was, hey, it could have been Kevin himself. I always think that when we are in a position where we are giving advice, a lot of times the advice we're given is coming from a subconscious place. And that advice is also meant for us. So we're hearing ourselves tell other people what they can do to be a better person. But we are also internalizing how we can become a better person, because I've been this way myself. And giving advice oftentimes, not all the time, because every scenario is different. But a lot of times I felt like what I was telling them applied to me as well. I think I would probably say maybe he was growing himself and learning. And I think that's the problem with our society is we don't give people room to error or grow. It's like they gotta be in this certain mode because we have deemed them to be at this certain level, and we don't see them as human. I don't think people saw Kevin Samuel as human. I know people don't see celebrities as human or anybody of notoriety as human. And I think we oftentimes forget that element about people is they're human. And just because I can do something very well over here doesn't mean I do everything well. And it's okay. But anyway, how do you guys think his death affects relationship views? Being that he was, quote unquote, a relationship or coined a relationship guru.
I don't think it's going to affect relationships. I just don't. He said enough that if you were someone that truly applied his things in your relationship, he has enough videos where you can always go back and reference. So if that's what you need in your relationship, is fine. Other than that, I don't know how many relationships he actually affected. I don't think it's going to change too much because he's not here. He has enough content to speak after him.
Absolutely. Yeah.
JB?
Yeah, I agree 100% with what Mika said. The amount of he has tons and tons of content on YouTube that people can really go back and watch and take a look and see the different little things that you could pull from him. From a relationship standpoint, that's the thing, because I'm not sure how much you can take from him from a relationship standpoint, because he gave you directions on how to get into a relationship, so to speak, mm-hmm. but he necessarily didn't give much information about how to stay in a relationship.
Sure did. I never heard yet.
That was the bridge that he never really, I never really heard him touch on. So, I mean, he helped people put themselves in better positions to get into a relationship. But as far as mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much impact he had on that.
Okay. Why you guys think it is, let me ask you guys this direct question. Let me be a Kevin Samuels today. Is it easy for you guys to self-identify with internal issues that you have that may not have or may not allow you to show up as your best self in life or either in relationships? Are you guys, do you at this stage in your life, I ain't talking about yesteryear, but right now in your life, or is it easier for you to identify internal issues that you have? Because I always used to ask men and women this question: what did you learn about you in your last relationship that was detrimental or toxic or wasn't right for that particular relationship? Because I know oftentimes when you talk to people, and that was the case with a lot of the people that I saw Kevin Samuels talking to, is they were never able really to identify what was wrong with them. And so I'm asking you guys the question: are you able to easily identify with your own internal issues that may not allow you to show up in this case, in your marriage or your relationship? I'm going to start with Mika.
I do. I definitely identify my own issues. I wouldn't say they don't allow me to show up. Sometimes I push through issues just to show up. I know this is something I don't like, or I'm a prompt person. I'm a impatient person. People, and see, that's one example. People mm-hmm. think I'm patient because I push through that issue that I have that has ruined things for me by being impatient. But people, if you ask anyone that loves me dearly, is Mika patient? She's the most patient person I know, and I'm the most impatient person. So I'm still pushing mm-hmm. through for people I care about. But yeah, if you don't know what's wrong with you, you're going to take that to someone else. They're going to point out what's wrong with you, and you're going to point out that they're the problem in your relationship. You're never going to look back at yourself.
Yeah, I've definitely gotten good at it, especially over the years. I think that's just one of those things that it comes along with growth and maturity. A younger person may not necessarily understand what's going on within them internally, but as you get older and you experience from a life experience kind of perspective, you mm-hmm. figure those things out the moment that you become. And it's just one of those things where, you know, you don't want to be, but you don't want to become the person that you don't like. But for me, I didn't like those people who were constantly talking about things and never really did anything to change them. And then I noticed, I was like, you know what? I do that sometimes too. You know what? I got to start being a man of action. And that's kind of just one of those things that, you know, you see it in other people and then you say, wait a minute, am I that way? Is that what I do? And then, but you got to be able to take that, put that mirror in your face and take that criticism to yourself and figure out a way to change it.
Isn't that crazy, judging people just like you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy mm-hmm. how you saw that. You mm-hmm. were judging people and realized, I'm one of them people. That's crazy. Right,
exactly.
I'm one of them people.
Right. I'm judging you. I condemned you to hell, and I do the same thing or worse. Mm-hmm.
I'm over here talking about your Vienna sausage, and I got a hot dog book and I'm trying to put out.
I'm talking about sausage over here. You talking about Vienna. Right.
That's so funny. I think sometimes, and you guys have hit the nail on the coffin. That's why I like talking to y'all. I've learned so much about myself, and I'm continuously learning. I think the important part for us to grow as people so that we don't live on Fantasy Island in no aspect of our life, not just for relationship purposes, but being honest with who you are in your present tense. Like, one of the things that irritate me about people is living in yesteryear, talking about mm-hmm. who you used to be versus who you're showing up as right now. And the people that are around you have to have their experiences, have to deal with the person you are and the person you have become, not the person you was. I think the reality of it is we have to start looking at ourselves more closely than we do. And we got to stop listening to the hype of others who celebrate us. I'm not talking about applauding your good works. I'm just talking about the bullshit that we listen to from people that's not telling us the truth. And contrary to what you thought about Kevin Samuels or his delivery, if it was too brash, or to me, none of that really matters in the scope of the truth that he may have shared with you about you. It really comes down to us as people not wanting to live in the truth that is, because like I said earlier, the truth is not going to change just because you get offended. And it doesn't care. The truth doesn't care how much you yell at it. It doesn't care how angry you get. Guess what? I think in essence, when you're looking at how we operate and move in life, I remember having this in a chapter of my first book. What do you do when the problem is you? We're not susceptible to truth told to us in what we consider or define as a brash way, when really it's just truth. If we just listen to what's being said versus what we're telling ourselves is being said, because that's a whole different dynamic too. Like when you're talking to people, I think in a lot of cases, like, and I'm not saying every scenario, every call, every show he did was it, this was the case. But I remember listening to, I literally just saw a video today of him talking to this woman. And he said, how do you live as a single woman with that smoke detector going off all day? She was like,
hate it.
As a single woman, he said, no, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the smoke detector. You don't hear that? She said, I don't know what you mean. And just as he's saying that, it goes beep. He's giving the example about it chirping in the background. And it was every 30 seconds. She did not hear it. And so
totally tuned it out.
That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. And I say that, I use that analogy to paint this picture. In life, oftentimes we have become so accepted our wrongful behavior that we don't hear the truth that's being told to us, no matter how it's being spoken. And somebody could say it in the nicest way possible, and we're still going to hear something different because of just like the one with the smoke detector. We have conditioned ourselves not to even hear it because
that's
something that's just going on often. Like, you got to think about it. You talking about you want a certain type of man, but you can't change the batteries at your smoke detector.
Because she need that man.
Think about that for a second. And we're talking about the thing in your home that's made to detect smoke so it don't kill your ass.
It's just beeping. A little chirp.
It's just beeping and chirping. And think about that for a second. Just that small little thing. How many of our friends or our relatives' house we go to and that smoke detector is going off? And it's been doing that forever. And they don't change it. And that's how we are with our behaviors in life. We are aware of things that are in our life that we do, but we don't want to change it. We just ignore it. Like, you don't hear that. It keeps getting louder and louder. And the people around us are annoyed by it because they hear it. They have to experience it. But we act like it doesn't exist.
Like that roach on the ceiling.
Oh, God.
But and everyone's not a hater. Like you said, you can say something so freaking nice. Someone can tag me to a post. You like this album? Not my taste. I actually didn't like the album at all. You're a hater. No, actually just didn't like I didn't like the music. Nicely. It's not my type of music. I didn't enjoy it. Oh, she ain't nothing but a hater. No, I just didn't like it. Am I going to change you or stop you from making music? Because my personal opinion is I didn't like your album. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a hater for not liking your album. Now, if I love the album, I wouldn't be a hater. Or as long as I'm co-signing what you have. But I can't just say, I didn't like it. I didn't like that food at all. It was too salty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a hater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you saying I can't cook? That's exactly
No, I'm just saying for me, it was a lot of Laurie.
You know, in our society, we don't like people to disagree with our strong opinions. Because, and you think about this, like society's ongoing argument is who's the greatest basketball player of all time? Who's the greatest sports figure? Who's the greatest MC?
Right, singer.
And if you be like, nah, I don't think so-and-so is in the top five, then it's something wrong with you. And I think we have been programmed on all the wrong frequencies of everything. Everything from finances to religion. It's like someone said you had to do this and that's just what we do. We don't ever question it. I had this conversation with a group of people about holidays that people celebrate, and people
I remember when my family and friends first learned I don't celebrate holiday. Oh, what are you, Jehovah's Witness? Why I gotta be a Jehovah's Witness? Because I don't celebrate. I don't subscribe to what you subscribe to. And right. I remember having this hard conversation with my father because he was just so upset about me not celebrating my birthday. And I was like, Dad, I don't. I always felt like when people have a strong opinion about something that they deem to be right, you can't disagree with them because now you are the problem. But I don't say anything. I don't say anything to y'all about what y'all do. Like, I don't, mm-hmm. I don't question nobody who celebrates all the holidays, birthdays for a month or two. It don't bother me because mm-hmm. it don't affect me. And mm-hmm. I feel like we should be the same way about the things that we believe in as a culture, as a society, because just because we think it's true don't mean it is.
Right. Try not eating meat. People telling me, oh, you just ain't had the right pork chop. No, I don't want your pork chop. So you was raised on that. You was raised right. on that cow. I was like, hey, right. I don't want it. They said that's the worst. Christians and vegans.
Yeah.
Like, they part. Will argue you down. Oh, my
goodness. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, JB, it's okay for you to have your hot dog.
Eating all that grass and then smoking a cigarette. Like, okay, you don't eat meat, but you smoking yeah. a lot of cigarettes.
Right, right. Keep a pack on them.
I just wanted JB to know, Mika, that it was okay for him to keep the hot dog.
Hey, go. Are you going to have vegan hot dogs in the book? You can call it the unknown meat chapter.
That beyond meat. It's beyond.
Oh, you're taking it beyond the meat.
It'll be on beyond.
Or impossible. Are you going to
have a chapter in there called The Meats? Just The Meats?
I bring the meats. You're gonna have JB write a book for real.
Hey, oh, for y'all giving me all these chapters. Him. Hey, Rick put it out there, man. I might have to do yeah. it now.
He said extra first turn yeah. author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on, JB. Come
no,
on,
no, he said no, he said porn star.
Oh, porn star. Oh, yeah, he upgraded, not stripper. Yeah.
JB used to be a stripper for the blind. Hey, nothing, man. Listen, Mika, why you think his head bald right now? Come on now.
And that's why he was shiny, and I saw a little bit of glitter on this side of his face. I don't know what the glitter was about. I let him go because I didn't, hey, you I'm not here to judge.
You let him leave.
I know he got kids. Man. Maybe they was doing a project. I just saw grease and glitter.
Oh, man. Hey, the school projects be a beast, because I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. You for real. I was that stripping that story we talked about a few months ago at that bachelorette party.
The chocolate dripping out. You done made that woman lose her husband.
with that chocolate peen.
On that note. She's single. JB over here with gold ping. Yo,
I watched that episode a few days ago. That's still hilarious.
Ain't it?
Yeah, for real. You got to look at it again, Mick. It's fine. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back.
Wait, I know this week pet therapy is supposed to come out.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
That's going to be
pooping in everybody's yard.
That was a hilarious episode, too.
Right. Mm-hmm. Got to poop mm-hmm. in the yard.
Pooping yep. as many yards as you can.
That's right. And mm-hmm. everything begins in the butt.
Everything
in the butt.
In the butt. Mm-hmm. You can want to put that in her story.
I sure did. And tag mm-hmm. both of you.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. She sure did.
The next day, everything.
The very next day.
In the butt. Tag.
In the butt. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I might have tagged the show.
Robin said, you didn't tag me. I didn't see that.
It was the very next day.
The next day. So that mm-hmm. woman.
How did people respond to that?
Oh, it was a lot of, what are you talking about? The laughing faces going up. And a lot of people are like, what are you talking about? Everything begins in the butt.
Mm-hmm. That's all you said, was everything beginning in the butt, and just left it like that?
In the butt. Where else could it begin?
I bet people was like, what the fuck?
They were.
I bet. But you don't care though, right?
Absolutely not.
That's what I love about Mika, man. She don't give a damn.
Don't care.
Mika don't care what you think.
No, because they care. Because my pages are private. So you care enough to follow me. So I don't care what you think about it.
That's a good way to look at it. Guys, the show is going to be... We don't need to do no elaborate no more. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. a win. Because I already know it's going to be cut somewhere long before we get to this part.
Oh, it is. Okay, so I just want to say, I ain't want to snitch, but I want to say that JB got on a striped shirt.
Oh, again. Hey.
After you told us, Not the way a striped shirt.
Now,
I ain't want to
snitch. I'm glad you brought that up. Because my wife had a conversation just yesterday.
How he don't follow instructions?
No, she said he going to have to show up with a white shirt on every show.
Oh, he loves his polos?
Yeah, and I said to her, Mika, you in production. He can't show up in these stripes. And he show up in stripes.
But hold on. Look, last week, you told me my stripes was good. You said
it. You did say that.
I mean, so that's why I was like, oh, okay, my stripes are all right then.
I said the stripes you had on last week were good.
But it's the same.
It was just
different colors.
And I had on the Beetlejuice stripes going down. And I didn't know what you felt about it.
Yeah. You told me mine was good.
Clearly it was. He wasn't honest.
Told you that.
Right. Exactly.
Then you feel like stripes is what it is every week.
He's coming with the stripes.
Yo, man, hey, you told me I can't wear no more polos. So I was trying to find me a polo that didn't have the horse on it. So I mean, I can't, no brands, no stripes. I can't explain to you how
you got one out of two.
Yeah.
With the glitter showing up on a solid color because he goes straight from production to this production, and he don't want all that glitter on his black shirt. Sparkle City.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to give us a follow, rate us, and leave a comment because we'd love to hear your thoughts. Until next time, get your ass off the fence.